All right, so it's a page yud. So I keep on getting sidetracked. So we have to cover ground. Okay, so let's see. So he just quoted the Chazal, right? As we saw yesterday, he's quoted Medrash that Eilei Sebusha, Eilei Lechlima, that a person at the end of the day has to study all Chalakim of Torah. And we saw that Lashon. That's what we focused on yesterday. The Lashon was that the Rebbeinu doesn't have any Hanah in his world, except from those that are those that are Isaac in Pnimius HaTorah. So that's what we saw. Right. So that's what we were up to. Right. So Nachmos, after you finish his quoting the Chazal, so was it about four lines in? So he focuses on that point. First line is Merkava. The Rebbeinu Shem doesn't have any hanah from anything that he created. Except for the fact of his children being down here and being Isaac in secrets of Torah. To recognize Hashem's greatness and beauty and so on. Again, not for oneself, but to recognize Hashem's greatness. It says, with the pshat of Torah, with the stories of Torah, the dineho, misveseha, the halachas, the nigla, the yosim kepashtam, when they're just viewed from the lens of pshat, ein bem shum yedil adas is a beris baruch. They don't give a person, at least consciously, don't give a person the knowledge of Hashem, like who Hashem is. The other rabba, the opposite, yesh ksas mitzvah suchukim she'en adas of lasam. You have maybe more than ksas, but many mitzvahs that the human intellect cannot grasp it. It's not tolerable by human intellect. And the Goyim chapa us by saying, well, what is this Torah that Hashem gave you? Things that seem like mysteries and just parables and so on. Ligach Karen Parvlet Koy by Roshana to take a horn. It's not a par actually, but I guess that's the guy. Yeah. So to show Brolin Roshana, Vatam Oimrim Shadekin Yisar Vasadna Ruchani. And because of this, you think that you say that the sudden, which is a spiritual thing, gets confused. The Makatra Ge'elion Vashayim out. Okay, so with Varmelo, like similarly, these things. Kemar Roiv Mitzvah Satorah. Uveprat Prati Dineim, right? Certainly, most mitzvahs, you know, are not part of, not something that Seichel would dictate. And certainly, when you get to the details of really any mitzvah, ain't Seichel Seivon. Right? There's always, like I mentioned this many times, there's always Kveger's Kasha. There's always, at the end of the day, you could be dealing with you know, the mitzvah of Kibbutz Vein, which is like a classic mitzvah that human intellect, like, legitimizes, and Esav wins into it. When you get to the details of it, there's always something that's like exerce a kasef, right? You know, so there's always something like that because that's the way it is. Yeah, that's exactly it, right? Eila, you know, it's always chukas atayr. All tayr is the chayk. V'mkein hechan hu adar atayr of yafi v'gdulasa. So where's the greatness of Torah? Where's the beauty of Torah? Where's the kiddush Hashem? So right, because ironically, the pasuk says that when we learn Torah properly, then the response of the gayim is. Right, the Goyim will be astounded about how amazingly wise the Jewish people are. So, how does that translate? So he says, "Valkiyotzeb zanemer." Similar to this, it says, "Im tzedak the matitin loy, v'im chatos matifel boy." If you do good things, what do you give God? And if you do negative things, what do you affect Him? It's just negate to you. Which is, again, a very nigla perspective. And so therefore, like, okay, so if it's about us, so then none of this makes any sense. It's like, so what am I doing? Amnam, beside the satire, will be asa kavanas and mitzvahs. But when a person learns the secrets of Torah and performs mitzvahs with kavanas and so on, al zener behepach, then it's quite the opposite. In betoiva nema, regarding good, it says, tenu oizel lakim, you give strength to Hashem. And if it's something negative, it says tsuri lechateshi, that you weakened the rock that gave birth to you. And it says in pasuk v'yatzav ro b'pigrei anoshim apoishim b, that go see the corpses of the people that sinned b. In other words, not just against me, but that forced me to be like sort of affected me. B daika v'leili, not just to me, but like b. Ela b mamish kiviyachol. In other words. What's amazing is, what Rechaim Vital is revealing to us, is that when a person studies Pnimius HaTorah, this is the great irony. Someone from the outside looking in, you think that pshat, that nigla, that's what makes Torah relatable. And secrets of Torah, that's like, oh, that's unrelatable. Like, that's heavenly stuff. But says Rav Chaim Vital, it's much the opposite. When Torah is just pshat, it's completely unrelatable. Like, what am I doing? Tefillin, shofar, it's completely unrelatable. But when you learn sight, not only is it unrelatable because you don't chap, but he says, but also it's unrelatable in terms of its effect. Like, what are you doing? So from the lens of pshat, so God is unaffected. The only space that you, what does pshat mean? Pshat means that the only space you operate in is this world, both in terms of practical operation and even in terms of your spiritual influence in your mind, it's only this world. So who are you affecting with your mitzvahs? You. And who are you damaging with your averus? You. That's pretty lonely, right? And there's psukim to back that up, and there's chazals to back that up, because that is true from the lens of nigla. But when you learn pnimis haTorah, not only is it incorrect to think that pnimis haTorah makes things less relatable, quite the opposite. It makes mitzvahs, it gives them life. It doesn't necessarily, again, this is always the key, that the people that understand Pnimis haTorah well understand, get this point. Pnimis haTorah is not to answer why we do mitzvahs, but it's to explain what's happening when we do them. What are mitzvahs? Because when you answer that question, when you first initially begin like sort of a journey breaking through just the nigla side, you think the questions that you want answers to is why do you shake Luv and Esrik? That's not the question that you really want an answer to. And you're never really going to get that answer anyway. Because at the end of the day, the answer is because that's what God said. So we don't know why. But the real question is, what is blowing shofar? You know, what is that? Like, where is that space that's called Kiyas Shofar? How do I get into that space? How do I experience it? That's what Pnimis haTorah answers. Pnimis haTorah, I'm preaching to the choir, but Pnimis haTorah explains to us that there's a universe that's called Kiyas Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, and how to get into that place, and what does that place look like, and what does it feel like, and what does it experience, and then not only is it relatable, not only does it become so grounded and so real, right? It actually we realize that it's high reaching. Its effects are high reaching. God is affected by it, kivyachol. And there's many chazals that would indicate that psukim, like you just quoted. So obviously, God in His essence is God in His essence is unknowable. We don't talk about that. But in terms of the revelation of Elikus, from Atzilus and down, that's affected by our meisim. It's affected by our meisim. But only when we realize that, because our meisim are real. They're not just human activities. They're metzias.
I feel like people don't want to do things for nothing, right?
Yeah, of course.
But people think that they need the why to satisfy that. But it's
right.
Not
it's not the why. It's not the why.
Also satisfy.
That's all you need to know. A guy needs to know why. A guy needs to know why. But a yid doesn't need to know why. A yid needs to know what. It needs to know, like, what am I doing? What is this place? Like, let me, just the taste of what's going on. That's all a yid needs. It doesn't, in the beginning, because the person doesn't know what's to come, so therefore they think that what they're looking for is the why. That's not what they're looking for.
But our what and their what is different what's. Meaning, that when a guy does a mitzvah, if he would do a mitzvah, he's just doing the mitzvah. But we just finished saying that when we're doing this, we're not really just doing the mitzvah. We're doing the mitzvah with the kavanas. That is a why in the why.
It's not. It's not. I guess it's like semantics a little bit in terms of the words that to use. But the point is, the guy wants to understand. I don't know what another way to say it. Why? In others, because ultimately, because the guy, not what's happening. Why am I doing this? Like, what is the reason? What is the reason? So that's right. So
now, what am I accomplishing by that?
No, right. So the reason for that is because Enein Yehudis, by his very definition, Yeshus and Gaiva. That's the Chefetz. So there's no so. So the only thing that's going to satisfy is for it to be completely rational and like, okay, this is why I'm doing it, and I understand. I would come up with this idea myself. Okay, then I'll do it. you know, that type of thing. But by a yid, that's not the point. The yid doesn't need that. That's not the language.
By a yid, even if you have someone, let's say that's just on the nigla side,
yeah,
and it has the same las as nachas ruach. But if he doesn't have the what's happening, so then all the how to do it, I mean, all the nuance of halacha just becomes like this endless of like. Being last is not the throat, but what I'm saying is, what the mice am I doing?
Yeah.
Why is it so important that I shake a little like this and like this and like
and
that?
And it takes away from the experience.
Is pile,
right.
Mamish in spirituality.
Yeah.
And that's.
It becomes a mitzvah, and it deepens the connection to the mitzvah. It becomes a mitzvah. It becomes it becomes the space that you enter into. You know, it's a whole different thing. But again, that's the irony of it. That Nister makes Yiddishkeit much more relatable than just Nigla, because. Nigla's.
Is that because you've been like being makar where it's coming from? You've been makar. So it's what you do. You use the lashon any ludi to say the opposite. I want to know if that was on purpose or a mistake. Or just, is that they're lacking that idea of why it was being makar?
Oh, you're saying why?
Which is like seeing the other perspective, which is godliness. Like we have that innate within us, so we can recognize it.
There's a bittul in that.
That's the
kol ha'kofer b'avodazara nikra yehudi, right? So the Gemara says in Megillah that the definition of a Yehudi is someone that denies Avodah Zarah. It means the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah is there's God and then there's me. That's the definition of any Yehudi.
Yesterday we said that somebody who spends all their time learning Panemius, it's a selfish endeavor. And today Rabbi said that learning just Peshanti Torah is very self, is almost like someone is almost only focused on themselves.
It's nonsense.
Yeah.
Right.
No argument. Not true.
Both of them.
I'm just putting out there.
Listen.
It's fair enough.
Listen. That's not a bad answer. That's what we're
listen
about.
He didn't have a question. He knew from before.
The whole concept of yid is chal mitzvah mitzvah. Is what connection of chibur you're having when you're doing the mitzvah. A guy can never understand that concept of chal mitzvah mitzvah.
Yeah. That's the difference. Yeah, listen. Dari Mala have to hear that they're not as high, and Dari Mata have to hear that they, you know, so, everyone. Unless you have both, unless you have it, but it's not even both. It's again, it's like we find in Chassidus, you know. When you have two things come together, I spoke about this on Shabbos afternoon, when you have two things come together, it's not the pshat that, like, okay, now you just have two things together. If two things that are opposite or that are very different are able to come together, that's an indication of something else at play that's allowing that to happen. In the Kabbalah Sfarim, we find, like this example of time, there's, you know, like in the story of Adam and Chava, so you have back to back, face to face, and then a zivug, right? It says meichin to achar. There's meichin that create an infrastructure for things to be back to back. Then there's meichin to panim, meichin that allow infrastructure to be face to face, and there's a yichud. In by the Rashash and the Teres Chacham, we find this musik that the truth is yichud is not just Zachar and Akeva coming together. There's something that's called Meichin de Zivug. It's a third element. It's a higher Madrega of Meichin that allows the Yichud to happen. It's not just like once you have these two individual components of Zachar and Akeva, now it's just a matter of bringing them together, and that's the Yichud. No. There's such a thing, there's Meichin that sustain them as individuals, and there's a higher level of Meichin that facilitates their Yichud. So it's like when the yichud is happening, the ikar is to be cognizant of that higher force that's allowing this to happen. So sitting over here, like nigla and nister, the chiddush of them together is not, oh, well, now they're just together. If they're together and fundamentally they are opposite, that means there's something deeper at play that's being revealed in that exercise of bringing them together. And then the focal point is that deeper element, not necessarily even just the combination of nigla and nister. It's like in Chassidus language, it's Atzmi Selakus, is the king himself. When the king himself, you'll never see the king himself, but the way you know that the king is there is by two generals that would otherwise not get along, all of a sudden they're both sitting at the table humbly. Why? So if you're in that room, so there's two people that come into that room. When they see two generals that are mamish, like humbling, like again, the classic mashal is two generals, they have different opinions about war, different tactics, they can't talk to each other. All of a sudden, they're in a room together and they're both humbled and they both talk and they'll work it out. So you have two people visit that room. So one person visits the room and his mamish nispal from what? Look, these two generals are able to get along, talk to each other, it's gevalda gezach. But the other person, that's a bigger chacham, says, that's not the nekuda. Why are they together in the room? Why? What's forcing them? The answer is the king must be in the room. So I'm being nispal, not so much from the two generals here. I'm being nispal from the king that's in the room. I don't see the king. You can't see the king. But I see the effect of the king. So whenever you have a situation like that, of nice yafachim, of things that are opposites being put together, the simpleton focuses just on the togetherness of it. But the Chacham realizes that there's something else, there's moichin de zivug. It's not just the zivug. There's a moichin de zivug that's allowing this to happen, and that's the ikanukuda. So when we talk about Nigel and Esther coming together, it's not even so much like, oh, just the beauty of it. Of course there's beauty in Chitzanis and Pnimis being united, but what's allowing that to happen? What's the nekuda, Pnimis, that's what is this new revelation of Elikus that's allowing that unification to be? That's what's to be nispal from. To a certain degree, that's in Tisha B'Av, right? What's Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is a day of Nisei HaFachim, of opposites, right? It's like, it's a day that's Kulei Tefillah when you're not really allowed to daven, right? It's a day of Kulei Dveikus when it's an impossibility to have Dveikus. It's Hester upon him, but yet, like talking to Hashem about the fact that he's not here. It's a Pella. The whole day is a Stira M'nei Obey. So you can just focus on that nekuda. Like, okay, wow, it's an amazing thing. Like, the opposite emotions, the opposite experiences at the same time. But the Chacham realizes, one second, if that's happening, it means there's something deeper. There's something even deeper than Geula on Tisha B'Av. It's not the fact that Tisha B'Av is a day that we feel that it's a day of Avelos, but yet Mashiach is born. So it's a day that Golos and Geula come together. How does Golos and Geula come together? Because there's something even deeper than Geula. That's the nekuda. So that's, again, but the only thing that you can say, the only thing that you could articulate, the only thing that you could sort of point to is the fact that the two generals are together. But there's a side in that. And only the, and that's what the Gemara says in Chagi, the Mishnah says that the only one that can, you can't give over Sisra Tyre, it has to be a Chacham Umev Midaita, he has to chop on his own, this Nakuda, you know, it's... Anyway, that's again the same thing with a person. Like, what are we, a neshama and a guf, right, together? No. If a neshama and a guf are opposites, if they're together, means there's something else. That's who you are. What is that something else? You're neshama? No. You're a guf? No. You're both. So you're just a combo. What are you? Something else. So something else.
I mean, the Gilei and the Hester is not a chiddush.
Yeah.
Once you recognize that, in order for it to be that way, then there has to be something much.
Yeah, that's the etzem. That's called the essence. That's.
So shalom is not just two opposing
parties. No.
It's a yichud that.
It's meichen de zivug.
It's an idea that's.
It's meichen de zivug.
It's meichen de zivug.
Because how do you have to say shmai shalom? Like, how do you say that? Because he's not. That's what it is.
Right. And then it's just a matter, okay, so the parts get along, you don't get along. All right. Once again, we didn't cover that much ground. Okay. Tomorrow. Shkayach.